Okay, thanks, David.
Yes, we have technology. We have technological liftoff, and that's a help. That's good. And thank you, Luke, and to the other elders for a lovely invitation to come here tonight. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
That's good. That's good. And it's so nice. It's so nice to be back here again and to see you all. And my, this beautiful church and all the way you have every place looking so beautiful, and all the lovely Harvest Thanksgiving display here is just so beautiful, and for all the work and preparation and prayer that has gone into it, we really appreciate that. So it's really nice to come tonight to celebrate the fact that there is a harvest every year, and that this year is no exception. And by God's grace, we have so much to thank him for. The seed that was sown has brought the harvest that we see all around us and that we experience. But not only that, the other kind of seed, which I'd like to talk about tonight as well, the seed of the Word of God, has, down through all those years, produced a great harvest in this church and beyond this church as well, of a harvest of the work of God's Holy Spirit in people's hearts and lives. And those two harvests are always running concurrently, aren't they? And that's kind of what I want to speak about tonight, really. About seeds, the perishable ones and the imperishable ones. And of course, the Bible has so much to tell us about seeds, and we've already heard so much. I think each of the hymns that were sown have mentioned about the seeds, and the scriptures that were read as well. And so I just want to bring various scriptures together tonight, which really underline and show maybe the difference between the perishable seed and what we call the imperishable. And I'm actually going to be addressing a lot of my thoughts to the younger generation as well, because when they learn, we all learn together, don't we? Isn't that it? So that would take us back, wouldn't it, to the very beginning, the very first chapter of the Bible where God mentions seeds. And when I went back to take a look at the creation account, I found it really interesting. It's up here on the board, but I'm just going to mention, I'm just going to read it here from my own Bible as well. And it was very interesting to me that on the third day that God created, this is the account that the writer of Genesis gives us in verse 11, right here. And then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And in two verses there, seed is mentioned five times, right? And it's just at the very beginning of the creation story here, the importance of seed. And then it goes on there in just after the creation of man. On the final day, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, and God blessed them, right? God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky." And then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with what in it? Seed. So you can see that from the very first chapter of the Bible, seed is such a big deal to God and to the one who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this opening chapter of Genesis, who probably was, we're not exactly sure, probably might have been Moses, but we're not sure. But seed was the big thing that was in their heads. And, you know, in the Bible, the very first thing that it says that God gave was, I give you every seed-bearing plant. And God is a great, big God who gives. And there's nothing explains that better than this beautiful cross right here with the arms. It's like the arms of Christ, the arms of God the Father, the Son, outstretched, giving and welcoming and opening his hand to every living creature. And the very first thing that it says that God gave was he gave fruit trees or plants with seed. And how good God is to give us seed. I'd like the children, please, to take a look at everything that is up here to do with plants and trees and everything else, and to tell me anything up here, anything of life. Now, I know there's tractors here, and I have a good idea where they came from, right? So they're not, I'm not referring to those things, but I'm referring to everything up here that is part of God's creation. Can you tell me, as you look on, is there anything that doesn't have seed in it, in this whole collection of things? Do bananas have seeds? I'm sure they do. And we eat them all the time, don't we? What else? Guys, do carrots have seeds? Why would you find a carrot seed? Any ideas? Yes? Brillo. Yes. The carrot grows the great big leaves like beautiful fronds like that, and you wait for about 6 months and it goes to what? Seed. Every plant goes to seed because that's the way God has made it, you see? And it's just an amazing thing. When you think of the designs that God has put into everything and the way that God made every plant to reproduce itself by having seed in it, and that seed would be such that it could be harvested and planted again the following spring, and that it would grow up itself as a new plant. What an incredible, awesome designer God is, right? And he didn't just make all seeds the same. They are all so totally different. It is such a beautiful thing. And God gave these trees with seed in it. Now, it is often asked, the question is often asked, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Right? And a similar question could be, what came first, the tree or the seed? Now, according to the scripture here, what do you think, kids, would be the answer to that? What came first, the tree or the seed? Because that might give you a clue as to what came first with regard to the chicken or the egg. What do you think? Does it say it? Say that now again. Yes? I don't hear very well here. Yes? Yes? It sounds like... Yes, somebody at the very back also has an answer. Yes? What came first, the tree or the seed? I'm wondering. I think it says... God, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. I think I'd be right in saying that God made the trees first, but in the trees were the special little tiny components that are the seed. That's the way he made it. It's amazing, isn't it? And I would imagine, but I might be wrong, that that's the way he made chickens as well. That the chicken came first, and then the egg came from the chicken. Would that be right? Because that's the way God decided to do things. If we were doing it, maybe we would make the egg first and then the chicken. But God decided to make the complete, beautiful, big thing first with seeds in it, right? And it was the seeds were the important thing, because if you don't have seeds, you don't have anything to carry on for the future. Isn't that right? And so therefore, there is a huge amount of care taken every year for there to be some of the barley kept back so that there will be seed for next year. If you don't keep back some of your potatoes, if you gobble them all up, there will be no seed potatoes for next year. So everything, seed, has to be minded and kept. And this is the way that God does it. So some more thoughts there about seeds. Seeds actually look so small. That's just... Oh yes, I just put this up here because that's all I was going on for when I was preparing this. And I was going to ask you around that picture where the seeds are. Are there seeds in mushrooms? What are they called?
Spores,
absolutely. That's right. There are seeds in hawthorn berries, as we can see there. There are seeds in apples. There are seeds in trees that have leaves like that. My goodness, everything has seeds in it. It's awesome. So moving on from that picture, you know, there's so many interesting things about seed. Seeds look so small, don't they? They're just so tiny. And they're so insignificant. I mean, you're looking at that lovely berry there now, but actually, the berries are not the seeds. The berries contain the seeds. The berries are lovely and red so that the bird will be coaxed to eat the berry and in that way to spread the seed. But actually, the seeds don't look much at all. They're generally just brown, right? Like a sycamore seed. They're generally kind of roundy or flat or whatever. The seeds don't look very spectacular at all. But in the seed is an incredible design that God has made. There's life in every single seed. And it's that life that produces the tree or the plant or whatever comes next. So it's just awesome. The seed looks so small. Oftentimes, the seed is hiding away. For instance, the seed is hiding away inside the banana. It's hiding away in the peppers. The thing that holds the seed is beautiful color, like a pepper. But the seed itself is just so ordinary looking and yet so powerful. And that's what we have here. You know, if you plant an acorn seed and if you wait for about 100 years, and if you happen to plant that acorn seed beside a brick wall, it will eventually push the brick wall out of the way to make room for itself. So the power that is contained in seeds is remarkable. It lasts a long time. It is said that at the time of the Second World War, in London, when a lot of the great streets and buildings were knocked down, it is said that out of those, the red brick buildings, and in the following spring, whenever the sunshine and the rain came, people began to notice little flowers that they had never seen before in London. Flowers that would grow somewhere up near Manchester where all those bricks were made. And after about 200 or 300 years of the seeds being inside in the bricks, when the bricks were blown open with the explosions, those little seeds that had been kept there for all that time actually began to sprout. So that shows how seeds last a long time. And they're carried, of course, in so many ways. Some seeds will fly, like this one here, which is a sycamore seed. Other seeds will be, let me think, some of them are poppy seeds. I think there's one here, this one for instance. And what happens with that? It goes swish, swish, and all the seeds are blown out this way and that way, right? Who designed all that? God made it that way. Isn't it remarkable? Some seeds, I don't want to upset the lovely design here, no, but some seeds are like, do you know the plant called the tumbleweed? If you're in America and you're driving along the road, you'll see these things rolling across the road in front of you, and those are tumbleweeds. And as the wind blows the round bundle of plant as it is, it scatters seeds all the way along. Whenever badgers eat blackberries, you can see what's left on the ground after them. purple stuff with seeds in it. That's the way the blackberry seeds are sprayed around everywhere. And then the Californian poppy, it's got a kind of a pod in it. And suddenly, whenever the sun comes out, the pod pops and out pop all the little seeds. And the same happens with peas and beans and the way God has made everything, that the seeds are dispersed. It is an awesome thing. It really, really is. And there's so much that we can learn from it. Now, just moving on from there. As I was thinking of the perishable seed, you see all of these seeds here, right, that come from all of these things, those are all perishable. What does perishable mean? It means that they will eventually fade or rot or not last forever. Even the little ones that stayed in the bricks for 200 or 300 years, they wouldn't last forever either. But you know, Jesus spoke about seeds that would last forever, and that's what we're actually going to come to know. And here we have in Matthew chapter 13, where we find Jesus standing up. In actual fact, he stands up in a boat. Jesus is here in Matthew chapter 13, and it says that he asked if the boat could be pushed out from the shore, and he stood up in the boat on the seashore, and he began to speak. And you would think that maybe he would speak about fish because he was in a boat, and Peter might have been well expecting him to speak about fish, but he didn't. He spoke about seeds. And maybe as Jesus looked out up over the mountainside in front of him, maybe he saw a sower a bit like this man, a farmer who was out there sowing seed by hand. And Jesus drew this beautiful picture. He said a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. But still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. It's an amazing thing. You see, we believe, because it says it in various parts of the Gospels, in John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, all things were made by him. Who is the him? The him is Jesus. And we know that Jesus was both, he had both that divine and that human nature. And at the very, very, very beginning of this earth, when God was making those trees, it was not just God the Father and God the Spirit, it was God the Son. And the Bible says that Jesus was involved in the design and in the creating of these amazing things that we call seeds. And here was Jesus, and it's so hard for us to get our head around this. Here was Jesus, who was the one who had designed seeds in all their amazing complexity and beauty. And here he was standing up in that boat, telling his disciples and all who were willing to listen that there is another kind of seed, but he told it in a parable. The story he told was about this kind of seed, but the parable was about an even better kind of seed, the imperishable seed, all right? And that's the difference between the two types of seed. The seeds that we see all around us here are perishable. They're meant for this life and this life only, as far as we can see. But the seeds that Jesus went on to speak about are imperishable. What does imperishable mean? It means that they will never perish or spoil or fade. It means that the planting of them will result in something that goes far beyond this life. And that is the most amazing thing, isn't it? The seeds that Jesus talked about here are eternal seeds, are seeds that go on forever, or the result of them goes on forever. And Peter went from, this is ordinary Peter now, who we have a picture here, a bit like him maybe. Peter the fisherman actually became a seed sower, sowing not this kind of seed because he wasn't a farmer, but sowing the imperishable kind of seed, the seed that will have eternal and amazing fruit, not just for this life, but for eternity. And that's what Peter became. He left the fishing. He left it all behind him, and he began to learn from Jesus. Maybe this story that Jesus told about the seeds falling in the different places and some of the seeds really getting going and bearing such fruit, that story could have really touched Peter's heart, and he would have said from there on, I am going to sow seeds like that for eternity. And so Peter, as you know from the story, he had so many experiences over the years. As he kept listening to Jesus, as he kept mulling over the words that came from Jesus' lips, he realized that what Jesus was saying, the words of Jesus, the scriptures that Jesus quoted from the Old Testament, these were seeds. Seeds that if they were planted all around in the places that Peter would go, they would bear incredible fruit. The imperishable word of God got hold of ordinary man called Peter. And Peter wasn't trained as a rabbi or anything of that nature. But the word of God, what Jesus said, those sayings of Jesus, the truth that is in Jesus, who Jesus was, that he is the word of God, all the Old Testament scriptures, they really got a hold of Peter's heart and life. And after Jesus died and was raised from the dead, and the Holy Spirit was sent, Peter was the man who stood up there in Jerusalem in front of all those 3,000 people. And Peter was the man who sowed seeds into that massive group of people, seeds of God's word, imperishable seeds. And we understand that 3,000 people were saved on that day. The imperishable word of God got hold of Peter. And Peter kept dropping seeds. When he went to Cornelius' house, he dropped seeds. He dropped the beautiful seed of the gospel that those who were there believed that Jesus was who he said he was. He dropped seeds that made them know that the Holy Spirit could come upon them and they could be born from above. Peter kept dropping seeds. But the beautiful thing is this, at the end of Peter's life, right, this is what he wrote. And this is where we're coming to that little passage of scripture now where it says about the imperishable seed, right? So here's Peter, great fisherman that he was, turned to be a seed sower, a one who would sow the seeds of God's word, of the holy truth of the gospel. And here he is. And he's writing to a scattered group of people. And this is what he said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 to 25. He said, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You see, Peter was writing to people who were scattered through about 5 or 6 or 7 different places, or more than that. He said, to God's elect exiles scattered. These were people who had been scattered, but as they were being scattered, there was something else being scattered. The good seed of the word of God was being scattered out everywhere they went. And it was the good seed of the word of God that had brought these people to put their faith in Jesus. You see, Jesus had said that some of the seed would fall on rocky ground and it would get eaten up with the birds, right? Or that means that people would hear the word but not really listen and it would fall away. Other people would be so taken up with wealth and other things that would take up their attention that they would forget the word and not look after it. But there would be some people who would take this good seed of the word of God that they hear, and it would bear great fruit in their hearts. And that was the picture that Peter was talking about here. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And, you know, it's a beautiful, it's one of my favorite pieces of the Bible, actually, the book of 1 Peter. And he speaks here about the things that were found in those churches, in those groups of people. He said, you have love there. Your hearts have been purified. In other words, the bad stuff that the devil had sown in them over all the years, that had been cleaned and purified away. And their hearts, because of the word of God that had come in and purifying them, their hearts had been purified. He said that you have the truth. And he said you have been born again and you have a living hope into an inheritance that will never perish or spoil or fade. What had brought all that about? It had been the speaking forth, the preaching, the sharing, the dropping into places of scriptures, not just scriptures, but the gospel, the actual message of Jesus having died for their sins on the cross, taking their place, taking their punishment on Calvary, being raised from the dead so that they could have new life. And the fact that Jesus ascended into heaven, those facts had made such a difference when they were preached, when they were shared, when those imperishable seeds were scattered. That made all the difference, and that brought new life to the individual people, and that brought new life to the churches that Peter was here addressing, you know. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And so therefore, for us here tonight, right, every time the word of God is preached here, and thank God, and I just would have to say that after the best part of 40 years, I can say this. There's a verse in the Old Testament which says that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And after many, many years of preaching myself, I can give that testimony tonight that God always gives the seed to sow if we wait on him. He will give something to say. Just like Luke stood up here tonight and God had given him those things to say, and your other elders. God gives the seeds to sow. He's always so wonderfully faithful to do that. And God gives you, as you witness to your friends and your neighbors and your family, he gives you the seeds to sow, these precious things that lead to eternal life. God is faithful to do that. We were in Wexford there for a few days, Elizabeth and myself, and we called to a lovely couple called Noel and his wife Angeline, and we had breakfast with them, and after a while we said, look, we'll have to go now, but maybe we'll read a little piece of the Bible before we go. And I turned up these verses actually in 1 Peter, and at the end, whenever I had read them and said a few words about them, Noel said, do you know something? He said, that is the very verse of the Bible that you read to us in that house in Main Street in Drumleague 15 or 16 years ago. And that was the verse that I was saved on, he said. You know, that seed of God's word. And I had completely forgotten that I'd read that verse that night or anything, you know. But the seed of God's word had got hold of that young man. And in turn, he now is sharing that good seed and preaching the word of God himself in Wexford. And it is a beautiful thing, because this is what God does. This is imperishable seed. It is seed that will be there when our earthly lives are over. It is seed that will bear fruit, not just in this life, but on into the next life. It's the only seed that goes on beyond this life. It's imperishable seed. And it's a beautiful thing to see the way that that seed is being sown in this church, in the children's clubs, and in the youth work, and all the various activities. It's being sown faithfully every week, every fortnight. And that's what makes the difference. You have been born again, Peter said, through the imperishable word of God. How wonderful that is. And I just really want to, just as we finish tonight, I just want us to be really thankful to God for the perishable seed. Without it, we wouldn't be alive. But to be even more thankful to God for the imperishable seed. That is the very thing that keeps our souls going. That's the thing that feeds us with encouragement. It is the imperishable seed of God's word that has actually caused us, if you are born again, it happened through the imperishable seed of God's word. And so therefore tonight, I just wanted to finish off with five little questions, really, for the children, perhaps, and for everybody. Number one there, do you think perishable seeds are amazing? I think they're amazing. Every one of these that God has made, awesome. And that's the power of God to make seeds. And if he makes these kind of seeds in such an amazing way, he makes the imperishable seeds even better with such variety and with such power and with such ability to change from the bottom up. Yes, the perishable seeds, do you plant them carefully or foolishly? I think whenever you get seeds, you'll always plant them, hopefully, carefully, so that they will grow, not on rocky ground, all right? Third question in the middle, have you had imperishable seeds sent to you from God? Have there been verses of scripture? Has there been somebody bringing you the simple message that Jesus died for your sins, that he rose again, that he ascended to heaven, and that he's coming again, and that he can save you from your sins and give you new life? Have you had that seed implanted in your life? I hope you have. And if you haven't, there is a wonderful chance for you to receive that seed and let it grow on good ground and to be truly born again through the imperishable seed. Have you taken care of God's good seed in your heart? It's a good question, isn't it? How do you go about taking in God's good seed, meditating on it, listening, really understanding it? And is this imperishable seed growing so that it becomes fruitful? And do other people see the fruit that comes from the imperishable seed? All those are questions that I hope you can say yes to. And so, therefore, we're going to close now with... I'm just going to pray and then hand back over to Luke again. So let's just be quiet before God and let's just think of these things. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a great giving God. You gave us plants with seed in them. Such a wide variety of them for us to use because you love and care for us. We thank you for these plants. We realize, Lord, that we need them every day, but we realize that they perish and we will perish bodily one day as well. But we thank you, O God, that you give imperishable seed that never, never, ever passes away or fades. And for that imperishable seed, for the precious good news of the gospel of Jesus, that he died for our sins, that he rose again to give us life, and that he is coming back. Thank you for this beautiful, powerful, hidden message that you reveal to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be really, really mindful of that message and very careful to receive that message and to receive you, Lord Jesus, into our hearts and lives in such a way that we would bear fruit for you, not just for this life, but for eternity. We thank you, Lord, that the Word of God is living and active. We thank you that it endures forever. And we thank you that you have placed that word in our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And by all those means, each day, each week, by which your simple word is communicated to us. We pray that it would fall on good ground every time and that it would bear fruit for eternity. And we ask this, that you would be honored and glorified in us and through us forever. Amen. Thank you. And I'm going to hand over to Luke.